Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Our call-in number here is 516-595-8258. I want you to call in. That is the new number. You will call directly to us, and we will have an open line. We are going on through Blog Talk, so I've got to go ahead and let everybody know we're back up. I finally did it. It took me a minute. My mom's in the studio. Her name is Susie Page. Always glad to have her. Got Mark Mandy's in the studio. Better turn that around, Susie, and turn the mic around to you.
Right through your mouth.
Just turn around. Push it there, and then underneath there's a little knob.
Push that up. This is exciting.
Yes, it is.
There's a little button on the mic. On the mic underneath. There you go. Find it. All right. We have a third voice. Three voices are always better than two.
She still didn't make it. Oh, by your thumb. Yeah, by your thumb. It's an open line. No. I'll do it during the break.
We'll do it during the break. So you did not know about that commercial.
No.
First of all, they painted Ed Gillespie as a complete total racist. And although it wasn't Northam's campaign that ran the ad, it was one of his PACs that ran the ad. And there were a bunch of guys with two or three rednecks driving around in a red pickup truck flying a Confederate flag. And they start to chase these kids, these young kids, and try to run them over. And that's what, and that ad, I think it just ran one or two or three times, but the outrage was so great they took it off, but the damage was done. I mean, they got their message across because they got a lot of free time, but they played that ad all over the news. You can go watch it. I posted it on Facebook and I took it down because I thought it was so offensive.
Mark, this is what bothers me. The disingenuousness of America. They paint people into a light that's not always true, both Democrat and Republican, because they use this as a political football. And all it does is divide people. People are people. Things have happened. Young people have made bad decisions on both sides. And if you did not catch me when I made it, then don't do it. But then don't throw mud when the wind is blowing, because it blows back on you. And, you know, I look at Kavanaugh, and you said the lieutenant governor there also has charges up on him with inappropriate,
He apparently sexually assaulted a woman at the Democratic National Convention. It was 2004, 2006.
Hold on. See what I'm saying? That's 14 years ago?
But you know the rules. If the lady makes the accusation, you have to believe her. It must be true.
But see, that goes back to what we've talked about when it came down to Kavanaugh. If you do not have proof, if you just can't just come up out of the blue and say, he bothered me. It's like I'm in a room with you, and my mom just happens to be here today, but we're in this room all by ourselves on multiple days. And I can say anything. Just because I say it doesn't make it true. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some bad men out there. There are some people out there that are wrong. But you just don't allow wild accusations to become factual just because of without a proof, without anything, without a track record. I'm sorry. That's just not right.
Well, he's claiming now that the Washington Post, first of all, this woman has never named him specifically. But the implication is pretty clear who she's talking about. And she said that wasn't that far long ago. She says, "I know exactly who it was." So now he's claiming, the lieutenant governor, that the Washington Post investigated the story 2 years ago. Oh, geez. I'm sure they did a thorough investigation from the Washington Post.
So, even if they did, why are they just saying something today?
Well, the Washington Post, that they have to take back half of what they investigate. They have no credibility yet.
Again, Mark.
And this is what these people have done. We haven't done it. They have done it.
But the people are people. And they are. People are people. We need to be honest about that. Good, bad, or indifferent, people are people. Are they not? Republican or Democrat. And what they're trying to do, this is They're trying to say that all Republicans are racist. And this is, I was, I tell you what was bothering me last week. The young man from Empire out of Chicago.
Yeah.
Now, I said this to my mom on our way in today. I just can't see a bunch of redneck racists watching Empire. One, to even know who this kid is.
Yeah.
Secondly, to know that he plays a gay character. And thirdly, to know that he came out the closet. I just don't see a bunch of rednecks sitting around watching Empire.
They don't have any. They don't have no proof that it happened. They don't have any.
I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. They can't find. He won't even return. He said he was on the phone with his agent or somebody, so they should have heard this going on. That's correct. So, and I'm not saying that it did or didn't do, because I'm not, because things happen. But my question is, I'm around a lot of white people. I'm around a lot of young people. And I know that there are some people that come in that are racist. And as a matter of fact, we were in the room the other day with a man that I really, really think did not have any regard for African Americans. I'm not going to say who it is on live, but we were in a room during while we were having a meeting, you and I. And you could tell he had no regard for people of color. And he didn't say it out loud, but I just know it. So, but he wasn't bad enough, bold enough, and or smart enough to come out, call me the N-word, disregard me, and I have yet to be disrespected and or harassed or anything else as I travel from down in southern Ohio. I'm in the middle of white America for real in Ohio. And I'm the only black person they've ever seen up close outside of the man that lived around the corner. And don't get me wrong, I understand that things happen. But where are these people finding these people at?
You know, the problem.
And why don't y'all mess with me?
We all have stuff in our past we're ashamed of. I have not run for office because I don't want anybody digging in my past.
Can I blackmail you?
Pardon me?
Should I blackmail you?
No. You wouldn't find anything that people don't already know. Oh. But I know what would happen if they go back in there and they look and they say, well, he can't hold office because, and they make a big deal of what my issues were, you know, 20, 30 years ago, 10 years ago. But you look, it's a cutthroat thing. The problem that Democrats are learning, and they don't seem to learn it, is if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And whether it's not they change the rules as to how judges are confirmed, or they change or they set a standard for how you have to deal with sexual assault cases coming from women. But here's the thing about this guy from Virginia, which makes it a little bit different. Mostly because
he was in the picture.
Well, first of all, he admitted it on Friday night, and Saturday night he took it back, which I don't know, I've got an issue with. But when he was running for office, he knew about it. Now, he says he was not aware of that picture on his medical school yearbook. You mean he never opened up that picture and looked at it? Dan Bongino had this picture last October.
So why did they bring it out then?
Oh, Dan Bongino said he couldn't verify it. Well, how can you verify it? Where did he get the picture from? You know, Bongino is supposed to be an investigator. They've got a place online you go to that has every yearbook ever published in the United States, and you look it up. And it's crazy. So somebody brought this forward, and what really bothers me the most is this big ruse that the Democrats had to know. They had to know about that when he was running for office. But what really makes me angry is they're talking about race, which is a very important thing, but they're talking about something this guy did 20 or 30 years ago. What they're not talking about is what he said last Monday. And that is the most disturbing
thing. What did he say last Monday?
Where you kill the babies after they're born.
Oh, yeah, he did say that.
And that has been blown away in this.
So did they bring this up to cover that up?
You know what? I don't think so. I just think these people are crazy. I the theory isn't that they're covering up. The problem is that no matter what the Virginia law says and what the governor of Virginia said, it's not as bad as what they did in New York, which is 10 times worse. And nobody is talking about it.
Why didn't they bring it? I mean, okay. Let me ask this. As Republicans, Why didn't we bring it out while he was running?
That's a good question. If I were him, and he paid, I'm sure all politicians pay somebody to do opposition research. That's what we do. We always look for the
truth. That's what I'm saying.
How did they not find that?
So why didn't they do that?
I don't know. This is what's so disturbing about all of this. And you know what's really fun in the middle of it? As I'm watching these people self-destruct and eat each other, is guess who's sitting there smiling in the middle of it? Because they succeeded in doing something that I didn't think was possible. They make Trump look normal. They're crazier than he is. And right now they're setting the stage, I think, for a third party in the United States.
Well,
and I think it's coming.
I think it's coming. I don't think it is. And let me tell you why, Mark. The reason why it's not coming is because of laws. Have been made by both the Republicans and the Democrats. Because the only two things they actually agree on is pay raises and make sure there's no third party. And the laws keep third parties out. Oh, yeah, don't forget about Starbucks. Mark, hey, we're trying to get sponsors. Nobody's terrible. No, nobody's terrible. Wonderful coffee. I'm drinking coffee now. They might want to be a coffee
sponsor. Listen, the guy's a self-made man. He made a lot of money. Good for him. I wish I had that capability. And they're killing him. So there's some money floating around there. They could pull off those laws.
Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. I want you to call in and talk to us. The phone number here is 516-595-8258. We'll be right back.
Did you find it?
No, right there. So push it up.
Push it up.
Push that little button up where your thumb is. It's on. Tap the top. She's coming. That's where it is.
It's up.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Why is this now? Just a second. We're about to be in the middle. We got to tighten that up. Just talk there.
All right.
I might not be on with you, Tracy, because I think we...
Is she up?
She's up.
She's there?
It's on.
Tap the top. Tap the top. They're up. Then talk into the head of it. Just like Mark's talking into the head of it, turn it towards you. Push it down. Turn the mic down. Turn it down. Just turn it. Right there. Right there.
It's a little loose there.
Okay, pull it down then. Pull the arm down. Pull the arm down. 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 Pull the arm. The whole arm.
The whole arm.
There.
There you go. You're good. Just stop right there.
Okay.
Okay.
Just kind of lean into it a little bit.
You're pretty talky.
And then that woman is going to smell all day, and he's going to say, Dad, you've been cheating on me.
You're going to be in so much trouble. Mark, you're going to start pulling a blog talk.
Pardon me?
So you can see the comments.
Okay.
Because they're on there. We got it. Warp in there.
I have to sign up for it. I tried to sign in, and I don't have an account. I've got to do that.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. I'm in the studio with Mark Mangi. My mom, Susie Page, in the studio with me also. Always glad to have her. The number here is 516-595-8258. Want you to call in and say hi. We will answer. You will get me. We are here, and people are nuts.
Just a sidebar.
Okay. Did a sidebar?
There was a story within the theater yesterday, a movie called Men That Follow. Now, Men That Follow was filmed here in Youngstown about 8 or 9 months ago, and I was heavily involved with that. I don't want to say I was heavily involved with that. I was involved with the movie. I edited the negotiations with the city to get them, the city of Youngstown, where it's float low. And then I took the producers out for a day, and we scouted locations, a lot of which ended up being used in the movie. This movie is a very strange movie. It involves snake worship, a denomination of Christianity, which is off the charts. But it has won awards out of the Sundance Film Festival. And I think the disturbing thing to me is that there was a guy that brought this movie here, the Youngstown Regional Film Commission, called, his name is Fred D'Amico, and Freddie is a very talented and very intense individual, and he, through sheer will alone, brought this movie here. Fred knows everybody there is to know out in Hollywood. I have met with a number of the producers that he's brought to town. This is actually the third film that was formed, the third film he has brought here to be filmed. We're working on a fourth right now that we'll shoot over the summer. But the disturbing thing is, in all the articles were written in the Vindicator and on, and I think there's even something on television about it, his name was not mentioned. And I want to tell you something, he has hundreds of hours and doesn't pay the dime.
But you know, Mark, let me say this. We even went to DoubleTree opened downtown Youngstown. The Vindicator did not do a front page, full page spread or a big ta-da. You got a major hotel. We have not had a major hotel in the city of Youngstown, I don't think, ever. And it comes, they all, I mean, you have to realize they didn't cover us. I'm just saying.
They're trying to story. They're trying to put the developer in jail.
Again. And the developer owns the building next door.
He knows a lot of stuff. Outside of the university proper because of what this guy has done.
So tell me, why in the world don't we have another horse? We have one horse in town, and that's the Vindicator. And don't get me wrong.
They're not going to be here, I think.
I don't think they'll leave. I think they'll change.
Nobody will buy them. I mean, I don't see it remaining independent. Not this market. We're a shrinking market. That's a tough market to be in. Although I think that shrinkage is a little bit of an exaggeration.
I think it's a geographical move. Because if you look at the population, the shift went from Youngstown City to Cancelled Poland, Youngstown, Bournemouth. And now it's going down to Columbia.
And there's a lot of older people here my age who didn't leave the motion. And they started dying off. But the population is shrinking, but the average age is getting younger. There's people beginning to move in here again. And you go out and look at the traffic on any night. My gosh, it's flat 11s, bumper to bumper, just about all the time.
And then I'll also say when it comes to Fred D'Amico, you know, a prophet is not known in his own land. And that goes with a lot of people. Fred's from here. His family was from here. His mother was amazing because she was my friend.
And the gospel was about this in our churches. The last two Sundays, we were on I've had a senior moment this morning.
Huh? Yeah. The gray hair is now coming to, it's sinking in.
Yeah, there's a pattern for our gospel reading. Gospel really was about that. Jesus was thrown out.
Right. I mean, a prophet is not known in his own land. And people do not realize that we never miss your water until your well runs dry. And the problem is we have had and we have great people that are doing great things here, and we always overlook them.
Yeah. But I wanted to give Fred a shout out on the radio because he had hundreds of hours.
Oh, more than that. He's still working hard.
And we have another one coming, and we're doing something really exciting. You know, I have learned, you know, as I have gone into my new line of work over the last 5 or 6 years, how they fund these movies. And they're funded through three things. Letters of credit from the producer, tax credits from the state of Ohio, and a bridge loan. And the bridge loan is secured by both of those things. That's how they fund these movies. It's a science. You would never believe in a million years how they do that. The movies that come here are between $3 to $4 million to make. That's a low budget, but that
that's
doesn't mean they're
budget.
Not good, because the Sundance Film Festival is a pretty big deal.
You know what's really crazy? It's with all these movies, because right now, when I first started in television and film, things were totally different. So for you to do a commercial, it would take you $1 million to do a 60-second commercial for anything. Now, the cameras that we have in here are more powerful and have better resolution than the ones we used when we were making Polaroid commercials back in the 80s and 90s. Right now, you have Netflix, Hulu, Prime. You've got all these movie places.
YouTube, Amazon.
Right.
It kind of goes on and on.
The movies that are being made now, I watched the movie last night. It had the potential to be such a great movie. I've never seen such a horrible ending. It just like stopped.
Your mom's laughing over there.
It just stopped. It was like, what? I'm watching this movie intently. It was about a young lady who was an heiress. She was over in, I believe, Morocco. She was a tough person. Her father died. He left her billions of dollars of shares in his company. Her stepmother hated her and had no regard for her, so we thought. They tried to kidnap her. They brought in a female bodyguard. The female bodyguard was bad. She killed everybody. She was smart, she was bad, and she had her own issues. And then in the movie, and it was like, really?
You feel cheated when that happens.
Cheated? It's 11 o'clock at night. I'm watching this movie. You remember, I don't have television, so I'm stuck with smart TVs and Netflix and YouTubes and Hulus and all that. And I'm going, what? And all of a sudden, it just says, good night. And so you're talking about movies. If anybody can make a good movie with a solid ending, I greatly appreciate it, because you shouldn't make a movie and have a great potential and then just end. I'm taking a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. I'm at break. It just ended. It just ended.
That's how all the Hallmark movies are. They just end them.
No. At least you know they're going to end. You know they're going to fall in love, and you know that they're going to get in. You know it's going to circle back around. It has the same ending. Hallmark has the same ending. This just stopped.
You're out of the bye.
It's like, what?
Oh my gosh, what a world we live in today.
What? Listen, the guy here, Mark, said that your $1 million commercial better contain the proper political message, or the networks will refuse to air it.
Yeah,
that is true.
That's true.
That is true. That is so very, very true. Because, you know, we don't go down on blog stuff. We're always live. We're always live on Facebook. We're always live on Blog Talk. We never have breaks.
Well, you look at the CBS turned out the Super Bowl. They run it on television. I haven't
seen
it.
Which one did they turn out?
Did
it have a flag in it?
Nothing to do with the flag, yeah. And the Washington Post ran a commercial saying how wonderful it was. I mean, it's just, as they're laying off workers, and it's just a crazy world we're living in right now, and guess who's still standing?
Donald Trump. No, I don't even think he's getting grayer.
Yeah,
he really is
more than I thought, because nobody else could have handled this.
No one. Because I was told, wait a minute, with as much money as he has. And where he is in life, let me tell you, Tracy would tell you, listen, I thought about this, I discuss it with my family. Peace out. I'm gone. You can take this job and shove it. I'm too old for this. He's 72 years old. Hey, we'll be back. We're back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Our call-in number here is 516-595-8258. Want you to call in and have a conversation with. Got Mark Mangi in studio with me. My mom, Susie Page, is in studio with me. And what a crazy day. What a crazy weekend. Who won the Super Bowl? And why does everybody hate Bradley?
Brady. I think people call it a dynasty. You know, I kind of watch. I'm not a big pro football fan. I've got a lot of footballs.
I know them still.
Yeah, but I stopped because Brady's signature got to be so expensive. I couldn't keep buying them. I couldn't afford them anymore. They kept winning Super Bowls. So
I think Josh is trying to say it was boring.
Well.
Why?
Nobody's successful.
I mean, listen to this.
How old is he? He's
40 plus. Listen, I don't know him. I wonder, he's a good looking guy.
But, he's a nice guy.
But at 42 years old, he's still letting them hit him. Yeah. He's still running with 20 year old boys, 23 year old boys. You know what that means?
Well,
I'm impressed.
I think that's part of the problem. My son would tell me that they don't hit him. That's the problem. He's treated differently. And I don't know whether that's true or not. Again, I don't watch all that much football, but you know, it's listen, anybody who's that old and get out there and do it, God bless him. You know, I thought maybe he might retire after last night announced retirement.
He didn't do it.
He's married to that beautiful woman.
Yes.
And he's a nice guy. I mean, he's non-controversial.
He stands out the way.
Yeah,
you never hear about him.
No.
And people just hate him. I'll tell you what else I did last night. I went to sleep on a documentary on Marla Stone. I did not realize, and I'm being honest, you know, I'm a part of the political landscape of Mahoning County. I know Ohio. You ask me about Ohio politics, you ask me about Ohio politicians, I will let you know what's going on with that. But I did not realize Roger Stone was such a character.
You know he has a tattoo. A
Richard Nixon on his back.
His back?
I said, are you kidding me? It's a full face. Is that what that is? I happen to like Tricky Dick.
Yeah, he did some stuff that wasn't so often. What he's done compared to the other sometimes.
Oh, he's done some great things. He did a lot. But my question is, I did not know Roger Stone, you know, he just got indicted.
Yeah.
I did not know he was in a lobbying group with Manafort.
Yeah.
I did not know how he was a lobbyist and how he started. I'm watching the documentary.
I don't know if Manafort was in the lobbying group with Podesta's brother.
Oh, really? Because it was Manafort, Stone, and two other guys.
And Podesta.
And there was a couple other people. Podesta wasn't a named partner.
Yeah, he was.
They didn't mention it last night.
He's under investigation.
So my question is, Roger Stone gets indicted, but they've been after him for years. But I did not know he was Manafort. That's really unusual. But I did not realize Roger Stone was such the character. Right. And why didn't we get him here in Mahoning County for the campaign?
It was a small universe over in Washington, D.C. Everybody, and I keep saying this, every time I get on the program, I keep saying, everybody thinks it's this big amorphous blob that kind of oozes around. I keep telling you, it's about 50 to 100 people that run the United States. They all know each other, they live together, they go to school together, and that's how it works. And of that 100, there's maybe 50 that count, and then that 50 are the 6 people that run NBC, CBS, ABC, who don't report this. They have a name, they're human beings, they control the editorial content. They're the ones who determine what you hear and what you don't. And you can add to this now the goofball technocrats out in Silicon Valley who keep changing the algorithms as to what you see on online.
Mark says the whole entire country is Trump-walk. We need to get a T-shirt.
Trump drunk.
We need to get a T-shirt on that. We need to find out who you are because Trump, the country is Trump drunk. And Trump drunk
on the
front. They are Trump, and that is so true.
Well, the media seems to be making a lot of money off of him. That's what I keep reading. And if they're making that much money, how come CNN is laying people off? I don't know.
No, speaking of layoffs, speaking of people laying off and money, what is with this new thing that hate the rich? We need larger capital gains taxes. The government needs to make the taxing fair for rich people because they're not paying their fair share. So they want you to pay for almost 40 cents on a dollar because you make money.
How much?
40 cents.
More.
40 cents more?
No, 50 cents, 60 cents. The Democratic Party wants 90 cents.
So, okay, Mark, I'm sleeping on the floor.
And by the way, the Democratic Party is right when they say when we came out of World War II, we did have a corporate tax rate that was approaching, but an individual tax rate that was approaching 90%. And Reagan stimulated the economy by slashing it. That was Reagan's claim to fame. But during the Eisenhower years and going up to Reagan, the estate tax rates were onerous. If you had $1.2 million over that, you're going to get taxed. That's not very much. You know, it seems like a lot of money, but it's not. By the time you take, you know, a lot of people are worth over $1 million. They just don't know it because they don't include their house in it.
But even with that, Mark, where are we going? You can't take the money. You can't take money from working people and successful people and give it to people just because.
That's what socialism is. That's why socialism is authoritarian. By definition, if you're socialist, you're going to find a dictator of some kind or another because they take the money from one person and they give it to another person by force. So it's not a pleasant situation.
But you don't give money to people who are not earning it. People need to start learning how to earn their own keep. You cannot, this is not going to work. It will fail. You have to know how to stand on your own 2 feet.
But they want it. See, you're hitting on the core reason. We've talked a lot about people being stupid and people not, you know. A lot of what you're seeing is being done deliberately. At the core of all of this, is a group of people who want to tell you what to do. Every facet of your life.
Elitism.
And it's socialistic. And they got other people fooled into believing that they're going to get a lot of free stuff. This border stuff has nothing at all to do about we're so compassionate and it's immoral to have a wall. It has everything to do with making Texas a blue state.
Period.
That's it. Everything else is irrelevant. And it's about time they come out and they say it.
They won't say that out loud.
You look at what they're doing to the unborn babies. The Democratic Party has a history of eugenics and social Darwinism. Going back to the 1920s and Woodrow Wilson. Nobody talks about that.
They tell me, and it seems to be true, when you look at racism in America, Democrats are more racist. They're just hidden.
Well, look at the guy from Virginia. Here is a full-blown progressive. And he hit it. And there's more like that. The Democrats have been on the wrong side of racial policy for a very, very, very long time, going back to the founding of this country.
So let's go to Bernie Sanders. And we only have a few minutes before we're done with the day, but let's go to Bernie Sanders in Vermont. Vermont is not the most diverse state in the country.
No.
Let's go to Pocahontas. She's from where?
Massachusetts.
They're definitely. I've been to Boston. That was not a pleasant experience when it came to race relations when I was in Boston.
They're not a good racial
thermometer for racial equality.
That was the core of racism in Massachusetts and the nation. That's where Boston started.
So please tell me, when did all these people out of these non-diverse places come up with this great, I love all people, we are one, but you don't have anybody of color on your staff?
Tell me about it.
And you don't have, I mean, you gotta realize how many staffers a senator has.
I know. There's no.
Do you realize there, most of their senior staffers that are in Washington, D.C. are on Republican offices? I'm just saying. And maybe I'm wrong about this. And then the next thing is, I got a text over the weekend. Have you seen the poorest cities in America? Have you seen the list?
No.
The poorest cities in America, someone said this. Oh, no, no. Well, we're probably in one place where we are. But so is Cleveland. You should be. I've got to pull it up. This is what it says.
I got this thing.
Oh, I know. I've been trying to tell you, Mark. The 10 poorest cities: Detroit, Buffalo, New York, Cincinnati, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, Miami, Florida, St. Louis, Missouri, El Paso, Texas, with Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Newark, New Jersey. Now, of these cities, Detroit is number one on the poverty list and has not elected a Republican mayor since 1961. Buffalo has not elected one since 1954. Cincinnati since 1984, which was Ken Blackwell. Cleveland since 1989, which was Winovich. Miami has never elected a Republican mayor. St. Louis has not elected one since 49. El Paso, Texas has never elected a Republican mayor. Milwaukee since 1908. Philadelphia since 1952. And New York since 1907. Einstein said, you keep on doing the same thing over and over again, you should not expect different results.
Absolutely.
Tell me, when do we start realizing that when you do not have a bipartisan political system, it is a detriment to your society?
Well, the problem that you've got is that when you say, when do we, your definition of we has got to include people who live in those cities. They're the ones who put those people in. And what they've done is they keep trying to concentrate peoples in the cities, and they're bringing in poorer and poorer people, and you wait to see what happens in California. I heard a guy this morning coming in to do the show talking about some of the cities in California and the massive poverty rates that are coming up over there.
They have to.
Because they're concentrating all these people that are coming in illegally, and they're putting them in those houses.
But you can't afford it. I mean, look at Youngstown. We have not had a Republican mayor since Hunter,
yeah.
And I think Hunter was here when I was a puppy.
Yeah.
And we have not had a bipartisan.
Well, we had McNally. I'm not sure. You know, the Democrats in Youngstown are a little bit interesting because they are different than the Democrats nationwide. I think.
John was a decent mayor, but he still was a Democrat.
Yeah. And you don't know in your heart of hearts how they voted.
No, but governing, he wasn't a bad mayor, but he was still more. He couldn't get anything done down in the state.
Yeah,
you got to understand, if you can't make a phone call down to the state as the mayor, and you've got a Republican leadership, then you're really not having anything done.
Plus, Ohio has some additional problems. Ohio is not a growth state.
No.
Ohio's not the one. And the reason is how they do their tax, their income tax here. We don't really have an income tax. We have a different kind of tax. What they do is they tax the gross revenues of corporations. You understand how that's different from normal taxes where you...
They tax the gross revenue.
Yeah.
Gross not good.
Yeah. So,
gross means it's before I pay my bill,
yeah,
right?
So I'm talking with people who right now are fighting to get some plant area. And when I talked to my principal on the phone, my principal does not want to come here. And I said, why? And he says, because Ohio has a very strange way of doing taxes, which is anti-business. And they did this under Kasich. So I don't understand how they came up
gross.
With this.
Did you say gross? Gross? We only have a minute. But gross is before I pay my bills, right?
Yes.
So if I make $1 million, but I owe $900,000
yes.
in bills. You tax me on the
100,000.
That's not nice.
They tax on the gross. They tax on the million. It's a very strange way of taxing. It's only a few states in the union that have it. We've got it. That's hurting them.
That's ugly. Oh, we need to change that. Hey, we've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Our calling number here is 516-595-8258. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out live. Check us out everywhere we are on social media. We'll be back here tomorrow. Me and Sticks will be here. God bless you. Have a good day. Be safe and enjoy this 50-degree weather. We'll see you tomorrow. What'd you say? Okay.
That was a good show.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
It's coming.
When they meet at a word in Ezra, I had a good show.
See, good show.
He patches. Oh, look. Trump drunk.
Trump
like
drunk.
That.
We got to get a T-shirt on, or a button or something. We got buttons.
Hey, look at you.
What did they say? What? Trump drunk.
Trump drunk.
You're such a sweetie. You're a sweetie like my Vinny. We could get you and Vinny together. You guys have a good time.
I thought it was right.
Well, Mark, it's nice seeing
you. Nice seeing you. You're cutting back for some more sugar.
How you doing?